Good morning. Well, just about an hour ago, it was announced that Liu Xiaobo has been awarded the Nobel Peace Prize for this year in recognition of his nonviolent political reform movement in China. He's less than a year into an 11-year sentence for inciting the subversion of state power. So, John, we were wondering if he's actually even going to be allowed to leave the country and accept the Peace Prize. I'm guessing not.
Although, you know, in describing this award, the committee did not necessarily call this a confrontation of the Chinese government, but more of a dialogue that there'll be some give and take, and we'll see what actually will be the result.
That's how they describe it. We'll see if the Chinese government actually sees it as a confrontation. Liu is described as a chain-smoking Chinese dissident, a literary critic, political essayist. He's the first Chinese citizen to win the Nobel Peace Prize. And here to discuss it with us is Professor Paul Martin, Director for Human Rights Studies at Barnard College at Columbia University. Good morning again.
Good morning.
First, tell us, who is Liu Xiaobo?
Well, I think Li Xiaobo is an ordinary Chinese who one day woke up and realized that he had to stand up for what he believed in, and looking at what was happening around him in the society, decided that he just had to make a statement in terms of his life, in terms of his energies, and just focus on the issue, particularly then, of freedom of expression.
And he literally make a statement. In fact, what eventually got him sent to prison was his written plea to the government for basic human rights.
Right, the charter.
Yeah. So China had protested, had threatened, if the Nobel Peace Prize was given to him, or I assume any other political dissident in China. Mm-hmm. So is this a message? Is this the awarding of this to Liu Xiaobo, a message to the Chinese government? Or, as John was saying, perhaps the attempt to open a dialogue?
Yes, well, I think that was clear in the announcement of the Nobel Prize this morning, was this is not a challenge to the Chinese government. It's saying to the Chinese government, we must enter into dialogue, you see. And he actually used the analogy of the United States and say the United States has its problems and it gets challenged by the rest of the world, but it doesn't panic, you see. And I think if the analogy really you have between the United States and China is really our experience with race. I think if you go back and look at our history of how we have dealt with race, enormous criticisms from other parts of the world over the years, even to today, that there's a criticism about the way race. So we have a problem of race. They have a problem of dissidents.
What do they anticipate the outcome would be, though? Is there a specific
set?
I mean, the Nobel Committee, the people who are sort of supportive of this particular dissident's aims inside of China. Is there a particular modernization that would represent that this Peace Prize had meaning, that the Chinese responded in some way, or is it just general?
I can't read their minds.
Right, of course.
But looking at it from my perspective, I'm sure that there's a sort of moral context here, that this is a statement about freedom of speech, and this is something which is important to the world. I'm sure it's a message that the Norwegian committee wants to give China, namely, by having a freer society, you will have a better society. Now, that's our opinion. My own sense is, of course, that the government will just dig in its heels. I don't see the government in any way making any gesture that's going to be visibly responsive to this event.
Well, then why not give the prize to Google, then? they're confronting free speech in China.
Yeah, so I think what you're looking at here, again, it's the Chinese problem. We're looking to China to solve its own problems. We don't want sort of outside influences coming in trying to solve it. It's how the Chinese develop their own capacity to solve their own problems. And that's been a problem with development aid. We've always tried to do it for people instead of letting and helping them do
Interesting
it.
Point.
Although the Chinese are bringing it down to a one-on-one level by saying that it would threaten their relations with Norway should the Nobel Peace Prize committee make this decision. But let me ask you about this choice in and of itself. Do you feel like after all the controversy that followed the choice of Barack Obama last year, that perhaps this was a safer choice, or did it require a certain amount of courage for the Nobel Prize committee to choose a Chinese?
Oh, I think it required courage. That's what I said a bit earlier on, was I think that there were safer bets. I mean, if we'd chosen someone like Svetlana Ganushkina, she would have been a safer bet. The Russians would have been less problematic. You know, she's a good person, acceptable of everyone. Moving to China, though, it's more of a challenge to the Chinese government.
So one of the things that struck me this year was that we reached a record number of nominations. They'd never had as many nominations as they did this year. And I'm wondering if you have any idea why that is.
It's a recession, right?
I think it's more the organizations who push these issues. It's become a fad, if you like. It's obviously a visibility, and that people feel by nominating somebody, somehow that gives that person added allure.
Do you think that perhaps the very obviously highly publicized award last year of Barack Obama, A, brought it to people's attention, and B, people felt like they had to respond to that?
Yeah, I think it probably brought it to people's attention, yes. Because I would probably guess that more people were aware of the Nobel Prize last year than ever before. But that's a guess.
Okay, so maybe they got their publicity. But let's go back to Liu Xiaobo and try to get a handle on what exactly will happen with him. A, let me ask you, do you think he will be allowed to go to Norway to accept the Peace Prize?
I just think that's impossible to imagine.
So do you see this, as John said, as making him slightly more powerful?
It makes him more visible. I mean, what the hard thing to judge is how the Chinese want to react, because Liu Xiaobo is a symbol. There are a lot of other people in prison in various forms, shapes, and sizes all over China.
And in fact, there's some controversy. Why choose this one? Why not choose them all together collectively, or why choose another one?
Yes, those are all options. So, I mean, I think, but what we're looking at here is China, an evolving China. I mean, I go to China every now and again, and the changes are dramatic. And the sort of what's happening in the society is dramatic. The universities are developing. They're very strong universities. And so you're not going to be able to keep everybody in place the way they've been able to do in the past. So I think that these are all pieces of a sort of chess game. This might be a little tiny pawn, which will not be obvious what's happening now, but later on in the game it's going to be more apparent of where the gesture has an effect.
Last year you talked about the awarding of the Peace Prize to Barack Obama was the expression of aspiration from the Nobel Peace Prize Committee. Do you feel that that's the same thing happening here, that it's less about what Liu has accomplished and more about the hope for China?
Well, I think he's also accomplished something. I mean, it's a very different situation from last year. Last year had a much more sort of geopolitical context to it. This year is very much a China context. We're talking about China. We're talking about domestic affairs in China. And China doesn't like people involved in their domestic affairs.
Well, they're going to be involved or at least paying attention in light of this announcement. That is Professor Paul Martin, professor and director for human rights studies at Barnard College at Kaleama University. We are talking about the announcement just out this morning that the Nobel Peace Prize for 2010 has gone to Liu Xiaobo in recognition of his pursuit of nonviolent political reform in China.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.